Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hold on, let me... Oh.
Nope. We're rolling. Not even. Everybody.
I don't even have it. Okay. Whatever.
Well, you know what? Doesn't even matter. Welcome to episode 130 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Just three of us today. Luke is in Waterloo.
Ooh, what's he doing in Waterloo?
I don't know. He says he has a work event in quotes for the week.
What? Okay, sure.
Do you believe him? I don't.
Yeah, not particularly. He's probably, but also I believe him because, like, is he really there to see a girl? I doubt it. Luke. Yeah. Oh.
But like, what? I don't even know what Luke does. So what the hell? Like, what did his job take him to Waterloo though for?
It's like Barney. What do you do for a living?
Except Luke's not that interesting.
Yeah, he's really not. He makes bulldozers or something like that.
You guys are so rude.
No, that's wrong.
He sells bulldozers.
He sells stuff or something like that.
He sells like construction equipment. So this is a plug for his other podcast about that he runs for his company about construction equipment. I can only imagine that it's real, real riveting stuff over there. Maybe I'll plug in an ad in this podcast for it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I just froze for like 2 minutes, so.
Wow.
All we were talking about is Luke's other podcast. So
yeah, we're talking about Luke's other podcast about bulldozers and construction equipment. That, you know.
Oh yeah.
Want to go listen to that if you just. Oh, that's, just ask that's, Luke.
That podcast sounds really interesting to listen to. So definitely gonna go catch that. But in more interesting discussions, we have our podcast topics for the week, which are, first off, scoring is up in the NHL this year, so I want to kind of discuss a little bit about why that might be. Actually it's significantly up over the last 4 years, and then even more up this year, which is really interesting. I wanted to discuss the big drama around Trouba. Have you guys been following along the Trouba drama along with Athanasiou and all that stuff? I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I saw.
He hits too high.
Yeah, he hits a little way too high very, very often. Chris Pronger disagrees, but we'll discuss. I want to talk Connor Bedard, and, you know, just the top of the draft class, because he's on now 64 points in 28 games in the WHL, Connor Bedard. He's basically, if you look at his, like, equivalency rankings, he's basically putting up numbers just slightly lower than McDavid, but on a way worse team, so we'll discuss him. And then also I wanted to talk, like, some rookies, because the rookies are doing, like, there's some rookies doing really well in the NHL this year. Matty Beniers is almost point per game. Jack Quinn's been really good. There's some little drama around Jack Quinn and Matt Harrington, who's David Harrington or Matt Harrington, whatever the fuck his name is, that writer from Buffalo that basically started comparing. Sorry?
Isn't it Mike Harrington? The guy?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the guy
Mike
who
Harrington.
Was like, that's the guy who said expected by whom exactly, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So him, and then we'll talk Suzuki and Caulfield, because under St. Louis, they're both almost point per game so far. And yeah, and then we'll talk the whole Brock Besser situation as well. I think those are, you know, some of the bigger topics. That's a good hour of topic. Exactly. So let's start off with rookies, because I think like there's a lot of really interesting rookies this year. Mike Harrington is his name. And he basically covers the Sabres for anyone that doesn't know. And he basically posted a tweet that got a lot of backlash on Twitter, rightfully so, because he basically said, you know, Jack Quinn scored a second of the night 2 days ago from when we're recording this. He basically said, hey, just wondering, where's all the sudden draft experts who wanted to draft Marco Rossi over Quinn? And obviously he got about a bunch of backlash, because anyone with a brain remembers how Rossi had those major heart issues due to COVID and everything like that, and was basically lost a full year of development because of that. So we'll talk this first, but Mike Harrington's kind of an ass. Jack Quinn's been really good, and I don't think anyone thought he wasn't going to be good. I just think we all were like, why wouldn't you get Marco Rossi?
Yeah, it was a reach at top 10. If you go back and listen to our 2020 draft rankings, right? I think that Jack Quinn was probably around 20, mid-teens to early 20s. I think it was pretty much a big reach at the time. And, I mean, he had a huge rise in his draft stock because he scored a lot of goals.
Yeah.
With the Ottawa 67s, right? He has a great shot. And we're seeing that in the NHL now, but like it was a reach at the time. And you're right, like Marco Rossi was on the board, and any other team I think would have taken Marco Rossi.
And they should have and obviously COVID's a very, you know, acute situation where, you know, you didn't know what that was going to happen beforehand, right?
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned it on the podcast, like he missed literally a full year. He got COVID. I think he skated in a couple of games, missed the World Juniors, and just didn't skate at all for a year because he couldn't, right?
Yeah.
He had heart issues, lung issues, breathing issues, and missed a whole year of development. It's unfortunate because he was a really, really good prospect, and I think that he struggled in the NHL so far because of that. But
yep,
you can't really predict that. I mean, it's like same with Rody and Amarov for the Leafs, right?
Yeah.
You can't predict, you know, major health issues for players. It's very, very unfortunate because these are young guys who in the most important time of their career, and really any player, right, who lost a full year of development.
Year,
right?
Draft year, draft plus one, draft plus two are the most important years in a prospect's development by far. And
guys just couldn't play.
Exactly. Yeah, and he didn't play one of those years. So obviously he's going to be a little bit behind. I mean, he still looks like he's going to be an NHL player. He still looks like he's going to be a really good NHL player. It's just unfortunate that he lost all that time. And then also, like, bragging about it right now when, like, we've seen players who've lost a whole year of development time. You know, you look at who is it in LA? I'm blanking on his name right now.
Byfield? No, Vilardi.
Vilardi.
Vilardi, who was killing it this year. Yep. And
who had major knee issues and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He lost a ton of time to injuries and everything like that.
Back injuries.
It's still way too early to be rubbing in the whole... I mean, ignoring the whole like thing about him losing a year, it's way too early for him to be rubbing in like, oh, who are the experts who wanted to draft Rossi over Quinn? Like, no, drafting Rossi
over Quinn. Thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And it's just like, you know, it's unnecessary. He's a kid who had heart issues. Like, that's, you know, not a great thing to have happen to someone. So it's just all around big L for him. But I want to talk on the positive side of things. I mean, there's some, like, really good rookies this year, even ignoring Jack Quinn, who's been awesome. Matty Beniers in Seattle basically top line center tearing it up right now, absolutely tearing it up. I think I don't know if someone can pull up the stats, but I think it's like 22 points in 24 games or
21 points.
In how many games do you know?
24.
So 21 points in 24 games, 70 point pace, basically for a rookie. And, you know, he's in Seattle, which isn't like a, you know, he's playing with good wingers, no doubt about it, but he's not like playing with superstars. You know, he doesn't have two superstars on his wing. You know, he's not like Michael Bunting playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, though Bunting did do a great job too. But, you know, he was playing with two superstars there. Beniers playing with two good wingers, but not, you know, super elite guys by any means. So yeah, he's doing really well. There's a couple
Who's this other... Matias McKelly guy?
Oh, that's never on that's on what's his name? That's on Arizona.
Yeah, McKelly. He's second in rookie.
Yeah, he's tearing it up as well.
Who is he? Like, he's a fourth round pick.
Yeah. Some guys come out of nowhere, man. But yeah, he's doing well. I mean, I think that it's a lot of times, like, I think it was the same as last week when you're like, who's the second best goalie by goals saved above expected? And it was friggin' Carl Vejmelka on Arizona. And, you know, just no attention to it almost, right? Like, it's just a team that you forget about. I mean, even Seattle, right? I mean, there's a big East Coast bias when it comes to players sometimes, right? And like, for you sure. don't hear about them and you don't hear. I think we all knew that Beniers was going to be good. He was you know, right up there in the conversation to go first overall in the 2021 draft, right?
He was the favorite to win Rookie of the Year at the start of the year, I'm pretty sure, wasn't he? Like, you at least one of the two, I'm pretty sure he was favored. So, like, you know, this isn't surprising. You know, it isn't super surprising at all. And there's a bunch of other rookies having really good years too. Kent Johnson's been good on a really shitty Columbus team. Paterka's been really great so far. You know, there's a bunch of guys that have been really great.
Johnston has been pretty good on Dallas too.
Jake Sanderson's been Ottawa's best defenseman.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point too. I mean, there's not a lot of competition there, but still.
And it's been pretty good.
Yeah. And, anyways, there's a lot of exciting rookies right now, and we didn't really actually give our predictions last week. I realized, like, we did goal scorer, we did Norris, we did Hart, and all that kind of stuff, but we didn't actually talk Rookie of the Year. So I wanted to get your guys' predictions for who you think is going to win Rookie of the Year this year.
It's not a runaway, but I think Matty Beniers. I think that they would just look at it from, you know, based on the number of good forwards there are this year, it's probably just going to be the one who scores the most points. And the team that's having the most success of all these top rookies is definitely Seattle. So I think that without a doubt, it's Matty Beniers right now. It's running away with it unless unfortunately there's some sort of injuries or something like that. But I don't think it's close at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, is he leading Seattle in scoring?
He might be, I think. Yeah.
Even if he isn't, right? Like, that's still pretty impressive. 22 and 24, 21 and 24.
I know, but like if he is, like, that would basically guarantee it.
Can you look at it? I'm pretty sure he is. I'm like pretty sure. But yeah, he's having an unreal year.
He started off really well. He played 10 games with Seattle last year, right? And he had 9 points in those 10 games. Right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah, he did really well. So he was already kind of like coming into the year as like a favorite and everything.
Oh, you know who's killing it on Seattle?
Bjorkstrand?
No, Burakovsky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're killing it. Beniers is third on Seattle scoring and third by a decent amount.
Who's the top two? Burakovsky and who?
Eberle.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I always forget Eberle's even on. Like,
see, you forget about all these players, man.
Yeah. And
are they all on the same line together? Let me check. No, Beniers is playing with Eberle and McCann right now.
Yeah.
Oh, McCann. McCann's been sick too. Actually,
he has 11 goals. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's not actually, a rookie. Evolving Hockey, Ty's favorite Twitter account, they released their like quarter mark NHL awards. And for the Hart, they have McCann at number 4. I'm pretty sure.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Like, they had, who did they have that was crazy a couple of years ago? I think it was Zach Aston-Reese.
No, they had for the heart, they had Nishushkin.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the Dreisaitl year, they had Nishushkin. But for the heart right now, if you look at their choices, everyone kind of makes sense. Their number one, number two is Jason Robertson, McDavid. Their number three is Eichel. Number four is McCann. But then number five, Matt Tkachuk, who's been killing it in Florida. Number six, Erik Karlsson, who you know we've talked about at length already. And then Pettersson and Dreisaitl as well. And Pettersson's been on a tear, like we talked about last week too. So their rankings actually make sense, which makes me think that McCann's probably having a better year than most people are probably talking about right now.
He's doing decent. Yeah. 16 and 21.
They also have Eichel at the top of their rankings for
Selke.
Yeah. They have him at the top beside Vilardi, interestingly enough. So not only is Vilardi producing offensively, he's, you know, at least as a Protas. Yeah, I don't know who that is either. I was looking at this, I was like, I know all of those names.
Alexi Protas on Washington.
I have no idea. I have no idea who that is.
The 21-year-old third round pick in 2019.
Honestly, never heard of that guy.
Never heard of him. Yeah.
I love, they always have some random ass people.
There's always a random, there's always random ones. But yeah, at the end of the day,
to get back to rookie of the year, like at this point, Ty might say it's not quite runaway. It's almost, it's teetering on runaway. Years.
I mean, Jack, what's Jack Quinn at right now?
14 and 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's if Beniers has a slower second half, you know.
But Seattle's doing better.
Yeah, I think you look at it like kind of like your MVP things, like which team is actually in the running for it, right? You can't be.
And like Beniers is what, their first line center?
First/second line, but I think that, you know, their top three lines on any given day could be in Seattle, could be the top line, right? Like now, it's said that Yanni Gourde is their third line, but
it's, if Seattle stayed like playoff contender, then Beniers probably.
Yeah, absolutely. If he keeps up this pace as well.
Yeah.
You know, let's say he finishes with 70 points in 82 games.
At this point, he's so tied in that he kind of has to keep the pace for them to make the playoffs or be pushing for playoffs,
probably
based on how well he's doing. We just lost Eric. Eric
died. No, I'm still here.
His camera just turned off.
I just turned my camera off because you guys are coming in so laggy right now. It's like I can barely understand what you guys are saying. So I was like,
well, anything that fix that Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you need Wi-Fi. How many
people are on the Wi-Fi, man?
My Wi-Fi has been so ass the last like 3 or 4 days. I don't know why, but it's been pissing me off so much.
It's probably because Bell's giving away free. Like Bell just emailed me and was like, for a month, you have the free fastest Wi-Fi. I'm like, unreal. It's unreal.
So it's schlebs like you that are getting peasants free. Like you getting free Wi-Fi. That's screwing me over.
Well, yeah. I'm on a pretty high-end one of theirs anyways. They're just trying to get me to buy.
You're
a
peasant, Martin, and you're stealing my Wi-Fi all the way from frickin' Kingston.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, speaking of Seattle, I wanted to discuss this because this was the comparison. And I didn't make this comparison. This is someone that, you know, very popular in Canucks Twitter. But he tweeted, Oliver Bjorkstrand was traded in the offseason for a third and fourth round pick. Not a high bar, but if the Canucks can do better than that for Besser, it's probably a win. And imagine, like, you know, imagine us a year ago or 2 years ago, or any Canucks fan a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, saying it would be a win if we could trade Brock Besser, who is, you know, putting up 30 goal pace seasons and stuff like that.
I know,
but saying, like, it would be a win to trade a third for him for a third and a fourth.
But what is Brock Besser like? He's not. Is he even a 30 goal scorer? Like
he's about to be a healthy scratch the other day.
He was healthy scratched.
They were going to, and then they had to play him because the guy that was going in was hurt, or one of the guys was hurt.
Someone else got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
people were shitting on Boudreaux because it was like hockey fights cancer night and stuff. And but I believe Boudreaux when he said he literally didn't even know it was that night.
I mean, regardless, it's a really bad situation. And I sent this tweet in the chat where they're basically talking about, you remember the whole story about them having to trade players because Boudreaux wants to play players that they don't want him to be playing and all this stuff?
Yeah, and they were all like, he wasn't holding them accountable and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like a whole, like, there's even, like, we've been talking about the Canucks all season, it seems, just because
they're a mess. It's a whole mess over there, man.
They're a mess.
And yeah.
Like, when Rutherford came in, he did kind of say, like, hey, we're going to try to get rid of these bad, some of these bad contracts. But then he never did. He literally just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, he still has bad contracts.
Put in, like, you know, how do you move bad contracts in a flat cap world where every team, you know, where there's like five teams with cap room in the entire league? You
but
know
then
you
they
mean?
Go and sign other bad contracts.
That was the other issue.
But so, I don't know. They're a mess. I don't know if there's.
Friedman's
way to fix
also
it.
Quoted as saying, he said, and they need that basically that they need to create cap room. And if that means we trade Besser and maybe our return isn't great, we still create at least the cap room. And I think that's the, like, he basically said that's a possibility here. So basically, what the Canucks are really just trying to do is get rid of Besser for cap room at this point, is kind of their whole goal, which is kind of like a huge L for them because, you know, if you look at Besser's value 2-3 years ago, like, people were talking, you know, he had the potential and he was putting up numbers and everything like that, and it's just been a huge downfall for him. But I think there is also value in picking him up for another team if they can get him on a reduced cap hit and seeing if, you know, they can revitalize him in a similar way as other franchises have done with other players in the past.
And, sorry, they were talking about trading him back then too, like a couple of years ago.
He's always been the guy that they've been talking about trading for years, for sure.
I think they're going to have to eat some of that contract though for 2 years, for the remaining years.
Yeah, I mean, they gave the his agent permission to seek out a Besser trade. But yeah, they're going to have to eat cap hit for him.
Which just means they haven't been able to find anything they like. So
yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult for sure. But yeah, moving on from Vancouver, because I feel like we talk about them a little bit too much. I just thought that was worth mentioning. Can we talk Trouba? What do you guys think? Have you guys watched the clips? Because I watched them.
A bunch of his hits.
Okay, yeah. So for context for everyone listening, basically, Athanasiou or Trouba went and laid a big open ice hit on Athanasiou. And, you know, I think one of the bigger debates in the hockey world is every time an open ice hit happens, which isn't very rare, which is pretty rare nowadays, especially, you know, there's a lot of, you know, debate over whether it was clean in the first place, and then elbows, aiming for the head, like all those things come into conversation when they happen. And so, you know, Athanasiou came out after the hit, and basically his quote was, he's an $8 million man with zero goals, so he has to figure out how to do something when making that much. If you can't help the team, I guess you try to hurt guys on the other team, was his exact quote. And if you look at the hits he's throwing, you know, you can clearly see his elbows are coming up. He's going for the head a little bit there in a lot of those hits. And he's been known to have done it in the past. So it's not like this is a one-time thing, but what did you guys think about the Athanasiou hit specifically?
I didn't think it was bad. I think it was, I don't know. I don't think it's bad.
You don't think it's bad?
No.
No.
I think he's had way worse hits than the Athanasiou hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also think more of hockey Twitter is agreeing with Athanasiou than they are with Trouba.
But hockey Twitter seems a little soft to me.
Hockey Twitter is very soft. Yes.
So maybe we don't trust hockey Twitter's opinion.
That's why I wanted to discuss it, because I was curious what you guys thought about it. Because, yeah, I mean, I looked at the hit too, and I was like, it looked pretty clean. I've seen many hits from Chuba that definitely weren't clean. Definitely went for the head. Definitely, you know, used elbow and stuff like that. But that one didn't look
as well. I think Nacio's in a very – he's bent over a lot. So he's very poor position.
He has his head
down. Chuba, to be fair to Chuba, he actually could have destroyed him worse. He goes at him from a different angle, you know. So he actually wasn't trying to kill him.
Like, yeah, he could have made it worse, is what you're saying. Yes. Which isn't a great thing to say, but like, also, yeah, it could have definitely been worse.
It is also part of Trooper's game to hit people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's probably one of the few valuable parts about his game nowadays, because he isn't really producing offensively. He's not good defensively. And Athanasio is right, though. Like, Trooper's game is largely being a physical presence versus being a super effective player on the ice, right? Like, I think the Rangers acquired Chuba because he had his reputation in Winnipeg, right? Like, he seemed like
the
guy that could put up 55 points a year, 50 points a year. And he's had some, like, decent good point years, but it's more so the team around him producing offensively versus Chuba himself. And I think he is moving towards becoming more of a physical player because of his lack of production.
Okay, there is the one angle, and he kind of absolutely destroys his head.
You are changing your mind. The thing is, like, it's hard because when your head's down, it's impossible not to get the head.
Yeah, and he kind of, like, Athanasio looks up right at the last moment to get his face right in Truba's, like, back. But the problem is Athanasio is bent down, like, a lot. So if he's, like, standing more straight up, it's more in the chest.
Yeah.
Contact than in the head.
Chris Pronger went on, I forget which channel it is, to be honest, but he went on and basically defended the hit. A lot of people have.
Like, Elliot Friedman defended it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it from a lot of angles, and I'm so torn by it. But regardless, Chris Pronger came out and he said, legal check to a player who is skating with his head down up the middle of the ice. Get your head up, young man, or be ready to pay the price. Physical play is still part of the game and still allowed in the NHL rulebook. Now, Chris Pronger was always known to be a physical guy, so, you know, bias, but at the same time, I kind of agree with him. And I'm not one to defend dirty hits or anything like that, but I look at that hit and, ugh, it's not... I get why people would think it's dirty, but I also don't think it's, like, necessarily suspendable or anything like that.
Like, Athanasio and Chuba are, like, almost the same height. And Athanasio looks way smaller because he's so bent over.
Yeah, he's very, like, if you look at the hit, he's
which isn't helping him, right? Yeah.
But also, when you're skating, you're bent over.
Wasn't it Chuba that had, like, the huge hit on Crosby last playoffs?
Yeah, and it was and there was definitely some elbow. He did get the head, and I think that hit was illegal. And that's the thing, like, I don't think Chuba gets the benefit of the doubt anymore. No. Because he's had so many of those. And, like, he 100% took Crosby out of the playoffs that year. Like, they probably don't make it through if Crosby was healthy, you know?
Yeah, like Crosby was ripping up the playoffs last year, and he goes out.
Exactly, and he went out, and, you know, he was still good when he came back, but he was out. And so, like, Athanasio's comments aren't
wrong.
They're not wrong at all. Like, they're... Like, he even said, that guy is known for hitting a high, not really worrying about the puck out there and almost trying to hurt people. And he does do that, and we have seen that, and I think Pittsburgh fans have seen it. I think plenty of other fan bases have seen it also, so. Yes. I don't know. I don't feel like I just don't feel like I can see why people see it's not illegal, no suspension and all that, but I also don't give him the benefit of the doubt. And there's nothing in me that wants to go out and defend Chuba because...
Well, he also sucks this year.
Yeah, and he has been... And Athanasio is right on every level. He is known to be a guy who just hits people, trying to hurt them, like going too high, elbows to the head, all that stuff. And he's also been trash this year. He hasn't done anything offensively or defensively. The Rangers haven't been great just in general, and he's a large part of that, and he's making $8 million a year. Like, he's making as much as a number one or a number two defenseman in the NHL, and he's producing like a five or six. So
yes, but he's also a captain too,
though. Yeah,
which isn't good. Like, yeah, but you also have to look at the person making the comments. Like, Athanasiou is obviously like a fringe NHL player at this point, and
yeah,
he's potentially worried that, hey, this guy could have knocked me out, got me injured, and I might not have had another chance. So that's partially why he's making these comments, right?
Well, and so speaking of, you know, NHL players who everyone on Twitter seems to hate, Craig Berube spoke about Jordan Binnington. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He said he spoke about Jordan Binnington's antics. So he went and he laid Jordan Binnington, I think, elbowed. Who was it when he was skating around the net?
I forget.
I'm blanking on who it was, but it was really bad. I think it was someone on Pittsburgh, I want to say.
It was Zucker, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Jason Zucker. That's right.
Who's had plenty of injury issues and stuff like that,
yeah,
even recently. And he was just skating around the net, and he went and basically just elbowed him right in the face and took him out.
Yeah.
So the Blues coach, St. Louis Blues coach, Craig Berube, he came out and said, it's got to stop. It doesn't help anything. Just play goal. Stop the puck. That is, like, as harsh a public criticism as you will see come out of, like, an NHL coach nowadays.
Because the other thing is, and I've heard this from a lot of sources, is, like, Berube was an extraordinarily tough player back when he was playing, like, one of the toughest players of his day, which is saying something because his day was in a tough time.
Yeah.
And if he's telling you to stop that,
well, because it doesn't help. He does this all the time, though. Every time Benny gets pulled, or every time he gets lit up, which is what happened on whatever day that was.
He has issues. Like, I'm telling you, if he wasn't in the NHL or something, he might like be arrested for assault or something for getting the. For like a bar fight or something.
Yeah, probably. I mean, every time he gets pulled, maybe he's trying to, you know, rile up his team or something, but it just gets old after a while, right? Like, it
gets old real quick.
Yeah, he went up to the bench a couple weeks ago, didn't he? He went up to the team's bench and started like trying to pick shit with somebody.
Yeah.
All the time. Every time he gets pulled.
Is Jordan Binnington the most hated player in the league?
Probably.
By fans, at least.
No, I think like Brad Marchand is probably the most hated.
Okay, so Marc-Andre Fleury, this is actually kind of crazy. Who can be a little spicy, has played 956 games. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Has 78 penalty minutes.
Yeah, most of them are probably tripping in the crease, you know.
Yeah, Jordan Binnington already has 30 in 182 games. if he played 900,
and that's low goalies don't get penalties very often, and that's especially low because he does so many other shitty things that don't get called. Like Zucker elbow to the face while he's skating around the net didn't get called as a penalty. I'm like 90% certain.
So let's say the last year Fleury played a lot of games. So last year, Fleury had 2 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
Binnington last year had 14.
Yeah,
and he's already at 10 this year. Like, and that, like, do goalies even get their penalty minutes for their fights and shit? Like, I don't even
they
know.
They do, but like, there's very, very few.
Yeah, when's the last time we saw a goalie fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
So, and I would almost argue some of the shit I've seen Binnington do is almost like kick outable. Like, he could get kicked out. If he was a player, he might get kicked out. Like, he literally swings a stick at people.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little nuts.
I'm surprised he didn't get suspended for that, because that was like an elbow to the face blatantly.
That, I can't believe that wasn't a suspension. Like, I can't believe he wasn't suspended for 10 games for that. Like, that was the most absurd thing I've seen a goalie do in a long time.
And he does it because he's getting lit up, right? Like,
yes, he's just pissed. Yeah, but he has anger problems or something on that one. Like, holy crap!
The man won a Stanley Cup. Probably carried the Blues to a Stanley Cup when they were in last place, and the team's probably sick of him at this point.
Well, so Aaron Dell, who got suspended, okay, last year, right, for that huge hit.
What did he do?
I forget.
He stuck his leg out on someone.
Yeah, it was bad. It was Batherson, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Right, and he broke his... Yeah.
He has 128 games played. He only has 2 penalty minutes.
And it's probably the 2 from...
Probably 2 from that penalty, and then he got suspended after. So, like, Binnington is a different breed of goalie, it would seem.
he is for sure. Yeah. And he's the 5th highest paid goalie in the NHL right now.
So, yeah, can we talk about that list?
So Ty, do you want to break this list down?
Yeah, so I found it on Twitter from
Kevin. You gotta say the whole thing.
So he just went no analysis behind it. It was just, here's the top 10 goalies in regards to their cap hits. Okay. Let's try to get a lesson from this. Where's the tweet? Sorry, I got to find it.
I have it here.
Okay. So number one, Bobrovsky at 10 million. Number two, Vasilevsky, 9.5. 3, Gibson, 6.4. Hellebuck, 6.17. Binnington, 6. Markstrom, 6. Grubauer, 5.9, Quick, 5.8, Shesterkin, 5.67, Merzlikins, 5.4. 7 of those 10 goalies are under 900 save percentage. And 900 is like, I don't know, the benchmark that most people use between like an average goalie and a, you know, below average goalie.
Yeah. And obviously this doesn't take into account team and all that other stuff, yada, 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 that we all know.
And it, but it does exclude Carey Price because he's never playing again. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, Price isn't included because, yeah, he's done. Which I don't know if we want to speak about the Carey Price.
Yeah. No. We don't want to get in trouble there.
He got in trouble. He's an idiot.
Yeah. He's. But, anyways, we won't get into that because we could derail the whole episode with just that topic. So I think Ty, you said in the group maybe 2 of these deals are a good deal.
Yeah, 2 or 3 of them.
I said 3, and so out of the 10 top highest paid goalies, I'd say the 3 that are probably, you know, living up to their contract on a yearly basis, and this is a yearly basis. You know, there's plenty of these goalies that had 1 good year, 2 bad, or 1 good year, 1 bad, whatever. Are Vasilevsky at 9.5 million, Hellebuck at 6.1 million, and Shesterkin at 5.67 million.
And even this year, Shesterkin has not been great.
He hasn't been great, but he's still been good. Like,
he's still probably worth that contract.
I think Rangers are actually like, Art is saying he hasn't been that great, but just because they're so used to such high standards.
Yeah,
because
he carried them last year, right?
Absolutely. Whereas this year, he's just been quite good. Like, he's still a positive goal saver, but expected. He's still doing what he needs to do, but he hasn't been otherworldly. And I think the Rangers are, like, putting a lot – and this isn't all Rangers fans, yada, 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 whatever. But I think a lot of them are putting the blame onto him because they're used to him being at a certain level, and he hasn't been. Right.
They're used to him being like a 930 goaltender.
Sorry?
They're used to him being like a 930 save percentage goaltender.
Yeah, exactly. Or almost a 940 save percentage goaltender, basically.
One who wins every single game, right? Yeah. Like, there was a stat last year we lost like 7 professional games.
Yeah. And we said at the time, you know, the Rangers are in for a rude awakening if Shesterkin isn't otherworldly, and you look at the standings right now, and obviously, you know,
And all those goalies have, well, except Quick, have a lot of term left on their contracts, right?
Yep. I mean, Markstrom has multiple years left. Binnington has like 4 or 5 years left. Like, it's really bad. Like, his is arguably one of the worst, along with Bobrovsky, which has like 4 or 5 years left too. 5 years left, I think. Oh, no.
It's 3 years left only.
Yeah. 3 years left? Okay, 3 years left. Yeah.
But, like, just after that, there's a couple more. I mean, also, Matt Murray, I think, technically speaking, his cap hit is over $6 million, but since Ottawa retained, it's below $5 million, right?
Yeah.
It's $5 million. I think it's like $5 million, but yeah.
No, whatever it is. But, you know, right below that, you know, Merzlikin's at 5.4. There's Jack Campbell at $5 million.
It's been bad, yeah.
Which has been real bad.
Peterson on the Kings, who just got waived, $5 million. Bernier makes 4.1. Like,
how does Bernier still make 4.1?
I don't know, man.
When was his last contract?
So, like, half the league. That's like, you know, 14 goalies I just listed there, right? Who are in the top 14 of cap hits, and three of them are good.
Goaltending is so random.
I mean, if you look at the top goaltenders in the league right now in terms of goals saved above expected, Elias Sorokin, he's making like $5 mil right now, so he's being paid decently. Number two is Connor Hellebuck, but number three is the Vezmelka guy from Arizona, who's probably making somewhat close to league min. Carter Hart, who's making only, I think,
a little bit of a rebound for Carter Hart.
Yeah, but big rebound, but every year, or the last year, it was awful. The last 2 years haven't been good. But he rebounded. Ullmark's making $5 million, and he's been positive. I'm pretty sure. And then there's the Carolina dude, Kochkov.
Yeah, the Russian guy.
They just signed for 4 years, I think, at $2.5 million or $2.4 million.
Could be a steal for them.
Could be a steal, or it could just go the route of many other goalies who just, you know, had a good games. Like, he's only played 9 games, and I think they only signed him when he had played 7 or 8. So, you know. But then Anton Forsberg making only like 1 or 2 mil. Samsonov making $2 mil. Lankinen making $2 mil. Logan Thompson making a couple mil. Like, a lot of the goalies at the top of these rankings right now aren't the goalies making big money, basically. So, you know, still at this time, you know, unless you get one of the 5-7 elite guys in the NHL, there's really no point, or not a good argument, for paying your goaltenders.
Yeah, and I mean, even some of the guys who we think are good, right? Like Demko, for example, good this year.
I think a lot of people after last season would have put him in the, you know, I'm going to rely on this guy year after year type.
Pay that goalie, yeah.
They haven't really been able to.
I made this, like, I think it's a good, like, what's the word? Like, experiment almost, right? To look back at, okay, who were the top goalies even 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you had what, maybe, was Carey Price still good in, you know, 2017? I don't know. But it was probably guys like Braden Holtby, not in the league right now, 5 years later, right?
So if you want to, so we can actually do this. So 2017, 2018. Okay. The best, that's basically 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. Do you guys think you could even guess anyone in the top five for 2017, 2018 in terms of goals saved above expected?
Braden Holtby.
Nope. No Braden Holtby.
In 20, what?
2017, 2018.
I don't know.
I honestly wouldn't have been able to guess these.
Is Markstrom in there?
Nope. I only would have been able to guess one of these. Think about someone who is like really ridiculously good from like 2015 to like 2019.
Is Bobrovsky in there?
Bobrovsky's in there, yep.
Was it Pekka Rinne?
No. Oh, Pekka Rinne is probably in there.
Jonathan Quick was here.
Really?
John Gibson.
Yeah.
And so if and then if you go to 2018, 2019, so 3-4 years
probably Vasilev was at the first year. Vasilevsky's
at the top. Ben Bishop's at the top. Both the Islanders goalies at the time, Leonard, Thomas Greiss, were at the top. John Gibson again was at the top. So a lot of goalies, you know, even like 4 years ago, most of those goalies aren't at the top anymore. The only goalie that's in the top 10 here that's still good today is Vasilevsky. Ben Bishop isn't there.
Bishop isn't even in the league.
Robin Leonard's been injured, to be fair. Yeah. John Gibson hasn't been good. Pekarine's out.
Retired,
Anderson. Okay, Frederick Anderson was good last year.
No, he was good 2 years ago. Not great last year. Well, no, he was...
No, he was good in the regular season.
He was good last year. Sorry. Good.
Yeah. Not really good this year.
Yeah. Not good this year.
Braden Holtby hasn't been good.
Braden Holtby is retired, I think. Is he even in the league? I don't even think he is.
I don't think he's in the league.
And he hasn't been good in a couple of years regardless. Jack Campbell was good for 3 months. And then has been awful. Like, you know, if you look, it's the turnover on goalies, even 2019, 2020. Connor Hellebuck is there, but Tuukka Rask obviously retired. Halak gone. Khudobin hasn't even played. Mackenzie Blackwood has been awful. These are all the top goalies in 2019, 2020 in terms of goals they've expected. Carter Hart's back again. But he was good in 2019, 2020, and then hasn't been good up until this year.
And then was awful for 2 years and is back to being good.
And then back again, exactly. Calvin Peterson just got sent down to the AHL. it's just like the goalie turnover is absolutely insane. 2020, so
never,
2021.
Yeah.
The only consistents are really like since 2020 have been Connor Hellebuck, Vasilevsky, Saros.
Unless you have a guy who you can like, who you are 100% on will maintain their play, you don't sign goalies to long-term contracts.
Yeah, goalies are two, three years max.
You have to like find just the cheap guys and pray that they
open their
contracts.
Unless you have a Vasilevsky.
Unless you have Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, Connor Hellebuck.
But even then, how much do you want to pay them?
Like, I mean, I'm fine paying any of those goalies $7-8 million, I think. But those four goalies specifically, and then also determining whether you have one of those. No, Hellebuck wasn't bad last year. The Jets were just bad last year. Hellebuck just wasn't amazing last year. He still was positive in goals saved above expected and everything like that.
Okay.
So he wasn't like terrible. Like he was eighth in the league, by the way. We considered Hellebuck having a bad year last year. He was eighth in the league in goals saved above expected.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's simply because
the Jets were real bad then.
Yeah. And they were really bad. But he was still eighth in the league. And the reason we think he was bad is because he wasn't top three, top four, whatever like he was for a while. Right. But top eight, if you can rely on top 10 production from a goalie for 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, like Hellebuck or Vasilevsky, maybe Shesterkin's going to get there. We'll see. But other than those guys, Saros has been pretty consistently good too. But other than that, there's not a lot of guys, you know, there's almost nobody else in the league I would pay to, you know,
pay for five years for $5 million.
Yeah. Like there's almost nobody else. Like, Kemper's been consistently good, but he's had a lot of injuries and stuff like that.
Just got injured again.
Just got injured again, literally. So, you know, it's a rough world out there for goalies. And all I'm saying is, like, yes, Dubas got a lot of hate for putting in Matt Murray and Samsonov, but those two right now are, what, eighth for Ilya Samsonov and 20th for Matt Murray. And they're paying $6 million for the goaltending or something like that.
To get like average goaltending, yeah.
Yeah, slightly above average or a good portion above average goaltending, it seems like, at least from these stats. But regardless, you know, even if it was average, that's decent money spent if you can invest that money elsewhere. Same thing with, you know, Arizona. Arizona's getting shit ton of their money's worth out of Vezmelka. Carolina's getting their money's worth out of Kochetkov. Vegas is getting their money's worth out of Logan Thompson right now. I think at the end of the day, don't pay goalies is kind of the overall lesson. And I think we say this all the time, but I think it was good to go over all of that. In other topics, I wanted to say this just because this is a crazy stat. What do you guys think Connor McDavid's point pace has been over the last year? Can you guys guess? I'm just curious. And say, break it down into goals and points. Like, just guess. I just want to hear your guess on this.
Like, for what, 82 games?
Yeah, over an 82-game season, what do you think his point pace has been? Over 82 games. Over his last 82 games, let's say. Just take a guess.
135.
Okay, Ty, make your guess.
I don't know. 150.
Yeah, so his point pace over his last 82 games has been 156 points.
Holy.
With 54 goals. So which means he's putting up 54 goals and over 100 assists in his last 82 games.
Ty, are you still wanting to debate whether Matthews and McDavid are like comparable?
Not this year. Matthews is a defensive power forward this year. I don't even know what he's doing.
By the way, that includes the playoffs, and Connor McDavid tore up.
He went off in the playoffs. Yeah,
he went off in the playoffs. Yeah,
yeah. That is insane. That is absolutely.
It's insane how much Edmonton sucks when they have that guy.
They have the second highest guy too. Dreisaitl with 125.
It's a testament to their bottom six, and it's a testament to fucking Ken Holland getting his ass canned and never being a GM in the league again. But here we are.
How can you suck when you have the
that hard
at 125 for Dreisaitl and 154 for McDavid over 82 games? Their last 82 games together. And they can barely scrape into like the top two in their the weakest division in the NHL. Like, it's absurd. Someone tweeted.
That's what happens when you, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, continue.
That's what happens when you can't, you have no depth scoring after that. Like, they can only play so much and they can only score so much, right?
Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is because there's some heavy rumors right now. I bet. Have you guys seen these rumors about who Edmonton's thinking about? No, who Edmonton's thinking about acquiring?
Kane?
No.
I saw Eric Carlson today.
Who do you think will solve their issues? This is clearly the obvious choice, Martin. Come on. Who do you think is going to solve Edmonton's issues?
Probably something stupid.
Come on.
It's going to be something dumb.
Who do you think Ken Holland thinks is going to solve
Wayne Edmonton's Simmons
issues? Joel Edmondson.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Is the reported target of Edmonton media for what they why think they, will fix the Edmonton Oilers.
Why do they want him?
Like, no,
it's useless.
Oh my god, it is so funny. So there's been multiple reports coming out of Edmonton media, Spectre,
and you know when Gregor. You know Edmonton's media makes rumors or whatever. It's like actually from the team, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it's not from the team, whatever, but the fact that even their media is thinking like, oh, you know what? Joel Edmondson, you know, that sounds like what's going to fix our issues is completely hilarious. So Account for Hockey tweeted, we're officially in Ken Holland panic trade on Ken Holland panic trade watch, which is basically, you know, how can we fix this team? Let's make a move and, you know, probably overpay. People are reporting a second round pick. Possibly a first round pick for Joel Edmondson.
No.
Ben Chiarot got a first and a prospect. Yeah,
Ben Chiarot got a first and a prospect.
Yeah, but Ben Chiarot is actually.
Ben Chiarot is just as good as Joel Edmondson. And when I say just as good, I mean just as bad.
Edmondson, I think, is worse.
Edmondson's probably worse. Edmondson's probably worse, but he isn't like that much better, too.
Edmonton's bad. Edmonton is bad.
I just think that was funny. I wanted to bring that up, and we all love trashing Ken Holland and his poor and terrible choices. on a daily basis. But I just found that hilarious.
Like last... Edmonton was last traded for fifth.
Yeah. So if they gave up a fifth, you still have to take on his atrocious $4 million contract.
Yes.
Imagine Edmonton goes out and acquires Edmonton and fills their cap space again with freaking $4 million of Joel Edmonton. Like,
yeah.
It'd be
equivalent, for how long, too?
That's it'd be crazy. Almost as bad as the Eric Goodbranson thing that we trashed on this as GM
for. Well, it would just be just as bad because they're both non-NHLers basically making $4 million.
And in other news anyways, and we can maybe end with this or discuss one
of it. Last one.
Brady Tkachuk tied Gordie Howe in career Gordie Howe hat tricks at 23 years old.
I think it's a joke because, Gordie Howe, they call it a Gordie Howe hat trick, but he never even had a lot of them.
Yeah, he never did too many of them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just funny, but that was – he only had two. Is that
Yeah.
They're not that common. Like, the people don't get them very often.
And the people are tweeting it's now a Brady Tkachuk hat trick.
He's doing well. Ottawa's not doing so hot tonight, but
they're losing 5-1 to the Kings.
Yeah, shut up.
How are you doing, Martin? How about those Sens?
Hey, Kings are my backup team, so
that's
you're
true.
Gonna lose to the Kings. Again, depth scoring on that team is real bad too. Real bad.
They think it's good
for some reason.
So last thing, and this is the bigger discussion, and this will take like 5 minutes and then we're done. So someone did an analysis of points per game by draft class for the first 7 seasons after the draft years. Can you guys guess which year came out on top in the last 2 decades? So go 2000,
it must be 2015.
Three onward. Yeah. So 2015's ahead by like a significant margin. Like it's
that draft was insane. Simply Connor McDavid alone, Eichel, Marner racks up points.
McDavid, and he's still at the top. That's how good that draft is. Take out a generational player, and still that draft is at the top in points per game, basically.
In the last 20 years.
In the last 20 years. The only draft that even slightly competes is, can you guys guess the second highest draft? You
should Crosby's?
Not Crosby's. A little bit before that, actually.
Yeah.
You guys guess? 2003.
Isn't that Crosby's?
No, Crosby's 2005, I want to say.
Whose draft is that?
That was the year with like all the old guard. Getzlaff, Bergeron, all those guys. Okay. Like the old class of like stars.
I was going to say Bergeron's draft because that was a good draft. Yeah. But I didn't know what year
that was. That's the only draft that even like slightly competes with 2015. But 2015, like the players that came out of 2015, like it's insane. Like you go
it's
down round by round. I don't know if you can, Martin, if you want to pull up HockeyDB and just go through like round by round the players. But it's like every single round.
The points leaders are McDavid, Marner, Rantanen, Aho, Eichel, Kyle Connor, who's insane. Like Kyle Connor's so good. He's so underratedly good. Like, then Barzal, Konechny, Timo Meier.
Just keeps going and going.
Besser, Werenski, Hanifin, Provorov, Hintz. You throw in Rupe Hintz way down there. Shabbat, DeBrusk, Kirill. The Thrill, Kaprizov is way the hell down there.
Went down in like the 5th, 6th round, whatever it was.
So when you look at this, like every single player, every single, The only team that fucked up that draft was Boston when they had the back-to-back-to-back picks, yeah. Right?
Is that the year they had the back-to-back?
Yeah, that is.
Oh,
because
my
they
God. Could you imagine?
They bought Barzal and Kyle Connor and left that draft with Jake DeBrusk.
Jacob Zaboral.
Zaboral.
Zach Sinishin.
You know, Jake DeBrusk, fine. That makes a decent pick. But
yeah. That makes it so much worse that you fucked up the most historic draft of the last 20 years. That makes it so much worse.
Yep.
And yet they're still so good. I hate them. Fuck them.
They're still outright. They're right now leading the league.
It's outrageous.
Points. Even though they missed out on back-to-back-to-back back-to-back-to-back stars, arguably almost superstar-level players. And
probably the only team that that's the only team that messed up in the first round. Like when you look at it, there's in the first round, every single player's played except for Sinishin has played like over 50 games, which is pretty impressive when you look at it, you know, what the average is, right? Most of these players have become like NHL regulars, right?
Or stars. Like there's the crazy thing is there's stars in every round. Like every round you go down, there's like either stars or like really quality players, like Cirelli going in the second round, I think, or second or third round. Kirill. Kaprizov going in like the fourth or fifth round, whatever it is. Like, your boy
went in the sixth round, Mangiapane.
Mangiapane, there you go. 30 goal scorer, Mangiapane going in. Like that late, right? And the only draft that competes with, and this is why I say the 2003 draft. So 2003 is when Fleury went first overall. Okay.
Yeah.
So Fleury goes first overall, second overall, Eric Staal.
Oh, Eric Staal.
Yeah. Third overall, Nathan Horton. Fourth overall, Nikolai Zhirdev.
Zhirdev.
Played, you know, 400 games still. Thomas Vanek went fifth, played 1,000 games. Milan Mihalik, whatever. He still played 700 games. Ryan Suter, 1,300 games. Braden Coburn, I think he's still in the NHL right now.
No, he's not in the NHL.
No.
Is he not?
He's been done for a while.
Really? Okay.
Anyways, couple
years. Jan Phaneuf went 9th. Jeff Carter went 11th. Dustin Brown went 13th. Brent Seabrook, 14. Zach Parise, 17. Eric Fair went 18. Getzlaff, 19. Brent Burns, 20. 23, Ryan Kessler. Mike Richards, 24. Our favorite, Anthony Stewart, 25th. Worst hockey.
Hey, man, he was a Kingston legend.
Played 260 games in the league. Brian Boyle, Corey Perry went 28th. Patrick Eves, Ottawa Senators legend, went 29th.
No, he became a legend in Anaheim.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I was just being sarcastic because he got drafted by them. Louis Erickson, 33rd. Patrice Bergeron, 45th. Shea Weber, 49th. Corey Crawford, 52. You know, David Back is 62. Like, this was a crazy draft. Overall.
And then 2015 knocked it out of the fucking water.
Yeah, and 2015 just knocked it out of the park. Even if you ignored McDavid, but if you include McDavid, it's even like crazy.
It's just a different level.
Yeah, it's just a different
level. Maybe this year will be as good.
Maybe.
Bedard is looking good.
And there's still time for 2015 guys, too. Don't forget.
No, they're 25 now.
There's going to be guys that kind of break out now. Two out of the 2015 draft, potentially. Two. So, yeah, I mean, even in the seventh round of the 2003 draft, you got Matt Molson, Tanner Glass, Halak. You got like a bunch of guys that ended up playing hundreds of games in the NHL. Too.
Has there been a draft like 2015? More than half of the second round made it to the NHL, like as regular NHL players. Some of them are superstar NHL players. that ever happened? Like,
only the 2003 NHL draft is the only other one, I'm pretty sure. Like, a lot of the 2003 guys played 1,000 games, 400 games, 500 games, et cetera, et cetera. So that is really, it's 2015, 2003, and then everything else, basically. It's actually crazy. So, you know, if you were a team that pulled a lot of picks in that draft, you really lucked out there, unless you're Boston, basically.
Anyway, that's an hour. That's an hour of content for you all.
That is an hour of content for sure.
And we've been staring at a ball, a little colored ball. Yeah.
Here, wait,
it's been weird.
It didn't even work because you guys have still been freezing and lagging the entire time. But.
Well, you know what? Get better internet. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.